Okay, so I thought today I'd like to read a little something that don't talk about much in our church or a lot of others for that matter. With Pentecost not too far away, June the 4th, there'll be Pentecost this year. And to me, unfortunately, I think that's the third big Christian celebration, but it's not celebrated enough.
And you don't see much of actually celebrating Pentecost.
And it should be, because it's our birthday. It is literally the birthday of the church. That's when the church began, the Christian church began on Pentecost. Christmas and Easter absolutely should be celebrated, but so should Pentecost. Pentecost is the culmination of the completion of what Jesus came to do. And we don't talk about it. People are afraid of it because some groups go crazy with the gifts of the Spirit. They misuse them and, you know, roll them in the aisles and all that kind of stuff. And that's not God's definition of the way that's supposed to work. You learn in 1 Corinthians that the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. So obviously, you know, God's not a God of confusion. God's a God of order and peace and everything. But I want to talk about, you know, we're a prayer group. And I want to talk about speaking in tongues, which, like I said, we don't study much these days, but speaking in tongues is prayer. I don't know if you guys, I probably have said that before, I don't know. I don't know if you guys really knew that, but it is prayer. That's what it is. It's prayer in the Spirit is the way the Bible describes it. And so we're going to read a few verses just to kind of whet your appetite in case you haven't looked at it like this. And the first one's in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 and 15, I'm going to read. It says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, and the word unknown, by the way, this is taken from King James. All this scripture today is coming from King James. But the word unknown is an italicized word in the King James, which means it was added. Added by way of trying to give it more clarity and probably proper, but you could read this verse, if I pray in a tongue, that is to say a language that you don't know, my spirit prays, is what it says right here. My spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That is, I don't understand what I'm saying. Okay? You know, the old English, they got to use these interesting phrases, but essentially what that's saying is if I pray in the Spirit, my Spirit's praying, I'm praying in a language I don't know, and I don't understand it. It says, what is it then? So what about all this? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Now we know praying with the understanding is like when we sit there and we pray in our language, which is in this group, English, and we understand what we're saying. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So praises. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, one of the things that it gives you the ability to do is to pray in the Spirit. Now, if you have my book, there's a chapter in it called Natural and Supernatural Prayer. And the reason that I call it that is because it's just that. When you pray with the understanding, it's what I would call natural prayer. It's in your natural, you know, body and soul, five senses part of you. When you pray with the Spirit, that's your supernatural prayer because it's something you cannot do except for the fact that you have Holy Spirit. Now, you don't have to do anything particularly. It's not hard, not difficult to pray in the Spirit. You can do it by simply doing the same thing you do when you pray in your native language, only you don't try to figure out what to say. You just start speaking. The Spirit doesn't make you do it. People want to wait until the Holy Spirit moves their mouth for them. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. God doesn't possess you and make you do anything. Free will is the most important thing that God does, and He will never, ever, 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 ever violate it. And you can add as many evers as you want. He just doesn't violate free will. Free will is one of the most incredible things that we've ever been given. So, now in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Supplication is like requests. In the Spirit. There we go again. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication again for all saints. Now, who are the saints? Well, we're the saints, right? The Bible refers to all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the saints. It's not you wait until you die for 50 years and you become a saint. No, you're a saint while you're alive. When you're dead, you're waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. But while you're alive, you're a living saint. Not a saint because we're so good. People get that all wrong. We're saints because God made us good, made us righteous through our acceptance of salvation through Jesus Christ. So this verse talks about praying in the Spirit. Particularly, it talks about praying in the Spirit. A lot of verses in the Bible talk about praying. And in general, if they don't tell you otherwise, it's praying with your understanding. But this verse, and as we read in 1 Corinthians, it talked about both. Praying in the Spirit, praying with the understanding. Over here, it's talking particularly, specifically about praying with the Spirit. And going in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read three verses from there. It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. So you can have some wine, but don't overdo it. But be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, how do you think you're going to do that? Prayer. Prayer in the Spirit. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty cool. So it really shows us that we can pray in the Spirit. And I'm going to teach some more about that when we have our next prayer breakfast, which will be the day before Pentecost. And we're going to read about Pentecost because I think it's very exciting. Jesus, in his last instructions to his disciples before he ascended, he told them to tarry, to wait for the promise of the Father. We read a little bit about that, I think last month maybe. The promise of the Father. Wait for that. Wait until you be endued with power from on high. And that's that Holy Spirit. And one of the things that they did when they were first received the Holy Spirit, when they first received it, one of the things, the first thing they did was they spoke in tongues. That was one of the evidence to them that they had received the Holy Spirit. And there's 9 specific major evidence areas, what the Bible refers to as the manifestation of the Spirit. There are 9 of them, and that's one of them. So I just wanted to share that a little bit today and give you something to think about, something to consider. And if you decide on your own that you want to speak with tongues, go ahead and do it. You can do it. Every single Christian has the ability to do it. It's not a gift that God selectively gives you. The gift is the Holy Spirit. the what you can do with that gift is it's part of the package. All nine manifestations of the Spirit are possible to all of us because they're just part of that gift. Now, you may have areas where you really are much stronger, where you have been gifted more to do certain things. Somebody can be more gifted in healing, more adept at that. God gave them much more of that ability, but the ability to do any of those things is there simply because you have the Spirit. It's like if I have hands, you know, I can do very much. Everybody who has hands, if they're working properly, they can do pretty well similar things. You may be better at doing certain things than others, but having the hands makes you able to do those things. Same thing here. So that's what I wanted to give us to consider this week, and we'll look forward to next time.